The Lord be with you. We treat life as something to just get through, to get to Jesus, but it is through life that Jesus gets to us. I say that because today in the gospel we hear people admiring the temple in Jerusalem, and the temple is the center of Jewish religion, it is the center of Jewish politics, it is the center of Jewish life. And yet Jesus says to his disciples, you see all these stones? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be brought down. He's saying the end of the world as they know it is coming. And friends, we may not know if the world is going to end in our lifetime, but we know that our time in this world will end. Some of us more explicitly than others. When I arrived in 2019, there was a member here at Faith Lutheran Church named Jim Kirks. Jim Kirks, the same year I arrived, he received a diagnosis of stage 4 terminal cancer. And his doctors told him he had 1 year to live. And friends, when people know that the end is coming soon, that tends to be what they focused on. And it was true for Jim also. He came to me as his new pastor, and he came with what he wanted for his funeral service. And I always encourage people, come tell me what you want for your funeral. And people come, they list a few scriptures, and they list a few songs. Jim came with a binder. It had the vintage of wine that he wanted for communion. It had the choral arrangements. It had the linens he wanted presented. It even had a suggested menu for his reception afterwards. And focusing on the end, it's a common thing when you know that the end is near. In fact, last week we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we heard that there were people who were saying, Jesus has come back right now, the end is now. And today in 2 Thessalonians 3, we see what those people do, which is they live irresponsibly. They say, Jesus has come back. Great, let's just focus on that. I don't need to do my job anymore. I don't need to work anymore. I can just borrow people's food in the meantime until this comes to an end. There's a term for that, that slacking off when you know the end is about to come. Teachers call it senioritis. Yeah? High school seniors, college students, right? When they know what's happening after graduation, about halfway through their senior year, they go, none of this matters anymore. And that senioritis, it's a symptom of the fact that the people going through the process don't value the process for its own sake. They're just looking forward to what's going to come afterwards. And friends, the danger of our faith is that we treat life that way. We say, well, Jesus is going to come, so nothing in this world matters until then. Or, oh, we're going to die and go to heaven, so what's the point of this life? To those people in the church who've stopped working because they think Jesus is showing up, Paul says, if they don't work, they don't eat. Yeah? And here's the thing with that. I want to be clear. This is not a statement about the church's outreach. Jesus, when he saw 5,000 people in a crowd who were hungry, he didn't say, if you guys are unwilling to work, you don't eat. No, he fed them. This statement about those who are being unwilling to work shouldn't eat is a statement for the church leadership. It's a statement to people like me who are pastors who've started saying, you know what? My job is to shepherd the sheep, but the good shepherd's arrived, so I don't need to do my job anymore. I'm just going to wait for Jesus to take it from here. Paul says to those folks, you think you don't need to work anymore because you're so confident Jesus is about to show up? Well, let's see that confidence by you not eating until Jesus shows up. Because the end doesn't always come when we think it will. Jim, he brought me his funeral service because he was pretty sure he was going to die in the next year. And, you know, 3 months went by and he hadn't died yet. So he had a few ideas about things he'd like to tweak for his service, and he brought those edits to me. And 3 months went by and he still hadn't died yet. So he had a few more ideas of what he'd like for his service. And another 3 months went by and he hadn't died. This kept going on for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, For 4 years, we would get every few months more revisions to his funeral. Jesus tells his disciples, yeah, there's going to be all sorts of things. There's going to be wars and rebellions. These things, all these things have to happen. But when they happen, the end is not following immediately. Jesus' disciples, they want to know when the end is coming, but Jesus doesn't tell them because Jesus doesn't want us so focused on the future that we lose track of the present. And I was afraid that was what was happening with Jim, with his constant revisions to his funeral. Because here's the thing, it's bad enough that students spend half a year checked out of their life just waiting for it to end. But that can become a habit. Right? We can start going to work 5 days a week and just trying to zombie our way through it until we come back to life on the weekend. We can have an illness that's really running us down and think, you know what, I'm just going to watch Netflix until this is over. We can have someone in our life who is a challenge to have a relationship with, and whenever we see them, our eyes can just glaze over and we disassociate until they leave. But what happens is we can start turning all our problems into things that we just put our life on hold with, especially if we think, at some point, Jesus is going to solve it all. Now, I want to be clear, right? There are some things, some problems in this life that can only be solved by putting them in God's hands and waiting for God's time. But when all our life becomes calling up Jesus like tech support, and we just are on hold, sitting on the couch, waiting for that resolution to come before we do anything else, what happens is that we don't just kill time, we kill our souls. Friends, someday you will live forever, but who is that you who will live forever, especially if you have only lived forever on hold? You see, life isn't just something to get through to get to Jesus. Jesus gets through to us through life. And that is why after Jesus says, yeah, there's going to be wars and plagues and earthquakes and persecutions, Jesus gets kind of happy. And he says, this is going to give you an opportunity to testify. And what I came to realize is that as Jim knew he only had a limited amount of time left with his life, he began looking for ways to testify. Not just by preparing his funeral service, but I started noticing that he was doing all sorts of things quietly around the church that I didn't realize. For instance, we used to, every year, have a meal packing project called Rise Against Hunger, where we would, in the fellowship hall after worship, take bulk bins of food and pack them into 10,000 meals that could be shipped around the world for places experiencing disaster. Jim Kirks was the one who organized and paid for all that food. There were people who couldn't come to church, and Jim, despite being in terrible health, would drive and pick them up and bring them here. Every week, we publish in our email a list of people to pray for. Jim was the only person who would regularly call me up and say, how's so-and-so doing? How's so-and-so doing? Because he was praying for them every day. Jim, he donated those solar panels that we have on our church. He did it anonymously. He didn't want to get credit for it. He didn't just do it here. He donated an art gallery for Ollie classes so that when the students in the lifelong senior classes, learning classes, made art, they would have a place to display it, because he also spent his time taking poetry classes and singing in choral music and admiring art. And Jim spent his time trying to find all the very best food he could. He was famous for selling more tickets to the Durham Rotary Crab Feed than anyone else. And for his birthday, he threw this giant party that was featured poetry and wine and good food. He also organized and purchased 100 backpacks for us to fill with school supplies to give to students in need at our local elementary schools. And there's a famous story that I'll share with you, which is that when he went to buy 100 backpacks, he went with another of our members, Sharon Robertson, and the clerk said, "Wow, you must have a lot of kids." And this is an 80-year-old man who's dying of cancer. His response was, "Yeah, we never figured out birth control." Sharon is dying with, you know, embarrassment over here. And he says, "And the worst part is we're not even married." This is how Jim knew when he only had a year left to live. This is how he lived his life. And I think the reason is that when he got that diagnosis, it wasn't the first time the temples of his life had come crumbling down. Jim, years earlier, had gone through a really messy divorce. And one of his daughters died an untimely and tragic death. Jesus says to his disciples that they will experience betrayals by their friends and family. Jim had experienced that. And yet, what Jim had discovered is in the midst of this constant death and destruction, Jesus continually gave him new life through loving God in prayer, through loving his neighbors, through acts of service, through sharing the beauty that he encountered. Jim lived those final years of his life as a testimony to Christ's resurrection that he experienced every day. Every day he lived was a testimony that death didn't get to define his life. Jesus tells his disciples not to prepare their defense in advance, because Jesus will give them words and wisdom that no one can refute. What I eventually realized is that Jim's funeral, it was his defense. It was the defense of his faith, the defense that the resurrection was real and was right now. And he kept planning it, and he kept having to revise it, because every single day Jesus would speak to him through life of a new way that Jim was experiencing resurrection. Maybe Jim would read a new poem that would speak to him Christ's truth, or he would hear a new song that would proclaim the hope he had in Jesus, or he would taste a new wine and he would say, "This is what I want people to know at my funeral, that Christ is truly present in this." And so he'd bring me those revisions of how Jesus had spoken to him again and again and again. The last conversation I had with Jim was when he was dying. And he died during COVID. And he knew he didn't have more than a day or two left. And so I said to him, "Jim, we're in lockdown. We cannot do this fabulous funeral that you have planned. Should we, you know, just do what we can and get it over with?" And he said, "No. Wait and do it right. Don't just get through it. Do it right." And so we had to wait nearly a year. But we did it right. We had his amazing choral music. We had the poems that he wanted read. We had crab cakes after worship. And we had communion served in champagne flutes full of that special vintage that he thought was just the best proof that Jesus is truly in that wine. And it was beautiful. Of course it was. He'd spent years making sure it would be. But what was truly beautiful about it was, on that day, we got to experience how Jim lived every day. We got to experience the testimony of the way in which Jesus continually gave him new life, even as he was preparing to die. On that day, we got a glimpse of his soul. Jesus tells us that after all this suffering, it is by your endurance that you will gain your soul. The suffering Jim experienced didn't crush his soul. It forged it. And it is that soul which Jesus promises will not lose a hair of its head, for he will live forever joyfully and soulfully. Friends, when you live forever, who will you be? What soul will you bring into eternity? Because here's the thing. We don't know if the world will end in our lifetime, but we know that our time of life in this world will come to an end. And I don't know if it's going to be 1 year from now or 100 years from now for you. But I know this. There will be suffering along the way. And I know this. That our life isn't just something to get through to get to Jesus, but that Jesus gets to us through this life. And so I invite you to think about what it is if you had 100 years to do with your life you would do, and what it is if you had 1 year of your life to do. Because my bet is, like Jim, the answer is through loving God and loving your neighbor and sharing the beauty that God gives you every single day. May you live each day as a testimony that the soul God has given you will survive every death. Amen.